This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. Secretary of the Treasury cancels summit with the Saudis.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We made clear to them that we take this matter with respect to Mr. Khashoggi very seriously. They made clear to me that they, too, understand the serious nature of the disappearance of Mr. Khashoggi.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
They also assured me that they will conduct a complete, thorough investigation of all of the facts surrounding Mr. Khashoggi, and that they will do so in a timely fashion, and that this report itself will be transparent for everyone to see, to ask questions about, and to inquire with respect to its thoroughness.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the broadcast. As you know, we have an office in Jerusalem, Israel, and are very involved in issues impacting the Middle East. And the situation with the Washington Post columnist, Jamal Khashoggi, has certainly created tensions in the region. I say that because this is the report. Khashoggi, for those of you that did not know, was a Washington Post columnist and critic of the Saudi government. He was lived in a kind of a self-imposed exile in Washington, D.C., went to Saudi Arabia consulate in Turkey to obtain a document that he needed regarding his upcoming marriage to a Turkish citizen. She waited outside. However, Mr. Khashoggi never exited the consulate. The reports are, a week after his disappearance, Saudi Arabia said they would allow Turkish investigators to search the Saudi consulate to investigate the disappearance of Mr. Khashoggi. However, the search did not take place until October 16th. The Turkish investigators have told various media that Khashoggi's body was cut into pieces after he was killed by was killed 2 weeks ago at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. CNN witnessed cleaning crews entering the building on this past Monday and was told by Turkish officials that by the time the Turkish investigators gained access, a fresh coat of paint had been applied everywhere inside the building. On Monday, the president had a 20-minute phone call with King Salman regarding the missing journalist, who offered a flat denial of Saudi government involvement. President Trump said his denial to me could not have been stronger. I don't want to get into his mind, but it sounded to me like maybe they could have been rogue killers. Who knows? That's what the president said. We're going to try to get to the bottom of it very soon. The president then dispatched Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to Saudi Arabia. In that regard, Mike Pompeo did go to Saudi Arabia, where he met with the king, the crown prince, and other officials regarding the disappearance. This is what Mike Pompeo said just moments ago.
We made clear to them that we take this matter with respect to Mr. Khashoggi very seriously. They made clear to me that they, too, understand the serious nature of the disappearance of Mr. Khashoggi. They also assured me that they will conduct a complete, thorough investigation of all of the facts surrounding Mr. Khashoggi, and that they will do so in a timely fashion, and that this report itself will be transparent for everyone to see, to ask questions about, and to inquire with respect to its thoroughness.
So, Than, let's go to Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs. As I said, we've got an office in Jerusalem, obviously our office in Washington on this. Saudi Arabia, I'm going to go over in the next segment. It's been a key ally of the United States on a whole host of issues, and now a key ally of Israel. That does not excuse this behavior. What is the reaction in Washington?
Well, I think the statement from Secretary Pompeo will go a long way to reassuring Washington, Jay, because, look, this is a situation where you have to look at both sides of the coin. The United States has to come to its own conclusion based on the facts of what happened. I think you got a reassurance from the secretary that that is exactly what the United States government is engaged in. At the same time, Jay, and you and I have had these conversations as it relates to Turkey, in this region of the world, it is absolutely critical for the United States to have strong allies. You have to have it to engage enemies like Iran and ISIS, and you have to have it for the defense of your strong allies like Israel. In this situation with Saudi Arabia, Jay, you have to get to the bottom of it, but at the same time, when you do have allies in the region that are engaging with you in critical measures, you have to take that into effect too. I'm glad we have a team like we have in place to handle that delicate balance.
Look, I mean, I've said this before when it comes to the Middle East, you have to think nine-dimensionally. We have a lot of expertise in the area because we've worked in this area of the world. There is a lot at play here and a lot at stake. We're going to break all of this down for you, give you our analysis. We're going to also take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Your reaction to this story and what you think the United States involvement should be. 1-800-684-3110. Also, get your comments in. I'm already coming in on Facebook and Periscope, but again, phone lines are open.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, welcome back. So, as you have heard, Jamal Khashoggi, a Washington Post columnist and critic of the Saudi government living in self-imposed exile, it looks like when he went to the Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul, Turkey. We just dealt with Turkey on the Brunson matter, so... this is all fresh for us. To obtain a document he would need for his upcoming wedding, he did not leave that consulate. And the reports are that he was killed inside that consulate. That's raised a whole host of issues. We did have Bruce on Facebook say, why are we involved in this at all? He was a Saudi national, not a U.S. citizen. Well, let me tell you why. Because Saudi Arabia is a critical ally of the United States. By the way, that does not excuse this behavior. But Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, has said that they give it a few days for the Saudis to investigate. There's going to have to be action taken here on some level, either internally or I'm sure the world opinion here is going to be very, very bad for the Saudis. But let me give you the relationship of the United States with Saudi Arabia. We have full diplomatic relations with Saudi Arabia in 1933, and that is when oil exploration began in the kingdom. And by the way, I've talked about some of this actually in our book on Syria. When we have the Unholy Alliance book, because it's got the Syria, you know, Iran, Russia thing, and some of that's discussed in there about the oil exploration that was going on at the time. Since then, the United States and Saudi Arabia have maintained a baseline of economic and security cooperation that has kept the relationship pretty strong. Both countries have been allied in opposition to communism in support of stable oil prices and stability in Western economies where the Saudis have invested. Both countries were also allies against the Soviets in Afghanistan in the 1980s. Now the Israelis have a diplomatic of sort relationship with the Saudis, which would have been unthinkable 5 or 10 years ago, but they do. Both countries have, as I said, been allied in a variety of issues. The U.S., Saudi Arabia were also allies in the expulsion of Iraq from Kuwait in 1991. That was the Gulf War then. U.S. defended Saudi Arabia against a threat from Saddam Hussein. More recently, there's been robust defense cooperation between the United States and Saudi Arabia, including arms sales. Saudi Arabia is the U.S. largest foreign military sales customer. President Trump authorized a $110 billion deal in 2017. So very, very significant there. The deal included signed documents with letters of interest and intent, but is not actually a contract at this point. So some people have been saying that this is already done. It's not. The U.S. had a long physical presence and advisor military role in Saudi Arabia. We've trained Saudi pilots. So you've got all of this cooperation. It increased even more so when the ISIS situation came up. Saudi Arabia's tried to balance between its role as a leader in the Arab world and strong ties to the United States. That allows us to get answers to what happened here. So that's part of what has to happen. Then what action is taken is a separate issue. You've got to balance the entire geopolitical situation and balance at the same time. This is not easy. Balance the interests in the region. But also you've got to get, you know, the idea that an allies of ours would be complicit in doing something like this has to raise serious, serious concerns. Give me, I know Senator Graham and others have been very strong on this already, Than. I want to go to our Director of Governmental Affairs. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, the United States Senate, I think probably the most vocal on this has been Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. Jay, historically, Senator Graham has really put a lot of value in the alliance with Saudi Arabia for many of the reasons that you just described. But I would sort of boil it down to three reasons. One, they're one of the key players in limiting the reach of Iran. Two, Jay, they're going to be a key base for the United States to push back against ISIS and other radical forces that emerge in the region. And then three, you've got to have places in the region where you can provide support for allies like Israel, and Saudi Arabia is probably the most important player in the region in that regard. So that's why historically people like Senator Graham have been in favor of this alliance. Jay, he is very concerned about what just happened with Jamal Khashoggi, and he has said that if the facts bear out in the way that he thinks they are pointing, the United States Senate will act very strongly, including sanctions. Now, again, I think if the United States Senate is going to do that, Jay, they need to do it based on a set of facts. And so I think what you'll hear from Senator Graham today is that he's in favor of Secretary Pompeo's statement of making sure that the United States draws its own conclusion. Jay, you can't take the word of the players in this region at face value. The United States needs to look at the facts, make its own assessment, and come to its own conclusion. But if it's a poor conclusion, Jay, I think Lindsey Graham and the United States Senate will be ready to act.
Yeah, so again, let me say this. Do we have the statement from Mike Pompeo where he says, let's give a couple of days here for them to give us a full report? I want to get that one ready because I think sometimes in these, we do have it. Let's go ahead and listen.
I told President Trump this morning that we ought to give them a few more days to complete that so that we, too, have a complete understanding of the facts surrounding that, at which point we can make decisions about how or if the United States should respond to the incident surrounding Mr. Khashoggi.
I think that is the right response. We've got to get the facts and circumstances. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. We're taking your calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Michael. He's calling from Cleveland, Ohio. He's online, too. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Good, sir.
I just wanted to see if you folks have any information on Khashoggi's past possible connections with Saudi intelligence and or any other radical groups.
Well, you know, he's got an interesting past in that he had showed some sympathies for Osama bin Laden in interviews that he had done. And by the way, this doesn't excuse these actions. He also had some ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. And so this is not someone that's coming to this without living in that world. And when I say that, understand the world you're living in the Middle East. These kind of things are unacceptable in our standards. Unfortunately, this is, you know, the beheadings you saw with ISIS. This is the mindset of some of these groups. But that does not, and he's changed. He's moderated his tones over the years. He was in exile in the United States. And look, you don't want to go to the standards. I don't want to say, well, ISIS did it, so the Saudis did it, so that's okay. So I don't think that's because we've got one question came in from Ted on Facebook. It says, it's not America's business to get involved in this. Putting pressure on Saudi Arabia is wrong in my opinion. Well, I disagree. I think sending Mike Pompeo over, as the president did, was exactly the right thing. Diplomatically, we need to be addressing this in a diplomatic framework. And that is what is happening here. It's a diplomatic framework that's being implemented. Because you got to get the facts. But you can't ignore what has happened here. And I don't think anybody that you're going to hear from on our broadcast today is going to say that at all, Than. I think you can't ignore the realities of what's taking place.
No, there's competing truths here, Jay. I mean, number one, just pure and unequivocally, he should not have been murdered if, in fact, that's what happened. It should not have happened. At the same time, like with so many situations in this region, Jay, I mean, there's an extent to which there are no clean hands here. I mean, some of the associations for him in the past have been troubling, and you need to look at it. So, again, when you say look at the facts,
yes,
Jay,
but
I would say—
I just want to say something, Pat, about this, because he's a Washington Post reporter. And so, Than, yes, that's true. He's had some, you know, I would call troubling relations in the past. None of that justifies this action. This wasn't a court. Then, this wasn't a decision. This wasn't a, you know, this was apparently, we don't have all the facts. Until we get them, we don't know. But there was more to it. Go ahead.
Well, and that's why I started there, because I think that's absolutely where you have to start and finish any conversation on this. It's a very troubling incident, and that's why I'm glad that President Trump and Secretary Pompeo have committed to getting to the bottom of it. But I think the larger point, Jay, though, is that the facts here don't involve just what happened inside the consulate or the embassy a few days ago. They also, you have to look back in history. You look at, have to look at the interplay between the United States and Saudi Arabia. You have to look at the interplay between Turkey and Saudi Arabia. Frankly, you've got to look at the interplay between Saudi Arabia and other powers in the region, like the Shia Iran. So, Jay, when you talk about getting the facts, the reason you don't have them in a period of 24 hours is because the facts are not confined to just what happened inside those four walls. The backgrounds of all of the players involved are important.
No, it is. I mean, facts and circumstances matter in these, and we got to get a complete knowledge of the facts. Now, again, it doesn't justify the actions if they did happen that apparently happened here. But you got Turkey involved, you've got Saudi Arabia, both allies of the United States. And we just had the situation with Brunson's release, so relations hopefully are getting better with Turkey. But as I say that, I mean, the Turks are concerned. The United States is concerned. World opinion is going to be concerned. Lindsey Graham is very concerned. Let me play you what he had to say.
I've been their biggest defender on the floor of the United States Senate. This guy is a wrecking ball. He had this guy murdered in a consulate in Turkey, and to expect me to ignore it, I feel used and abused. I was on the floor every time defending Saudi Arabia because there's a good ally. There's a difference between a country and an individual. The MBS figure is, to me, toxic. He can never be a world leader on the world stage.
So that is the crown prince they're talking about there, and so Lindsey Graham is very concerned. Now, we want to get the facts, and you can't just rely on the Saudis for those facts either. They need to do an investigation. But they're going to have to come clean on this. I mean, something's going to have to transpire here. All right, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So our phone lines are open for you. We've got comments coming in also on Facebook and Periscope. We encourage you to get those in as well. When we come back from the break, are we going to have Colonel Smith? Yeah, Colonel Wes Smith, our senior military analyst, will be with us via phone. He's traveling today, not at our studios, but he is going to give us some insight. He knows this area well. He's written on this situation. So we will have more information on this as we come back. Remember this, we have done a lot of work in that region. I mean, I have been to Egypt. I have been to, of course, Israel multiple times. I've been to Jordan. I've worked this region. We know this region. We have an active office in Jerusalem, and we know the situation with the Saudis as an ally right now is important. This is definitely raising an issue. Taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We want to get your position. You think we need to be cautious, aggressive? Do you agree with the approach that's being taken by President Trump, which is find the facts out, as Mike Pompeo did? Take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture. and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the disappearance and murder of Jamal Khashoggi, a Washington Post columnist and critic of the Saudi government, living in a self-imposed exile in Washington, D.C. Went to the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, to obtain a document he needed for his upcoming marriage and did not come out. It's that straightforward. Joining us on the phone is our senior military analyst, Colonel Wes Smith. Colonel Smith, you started talking about this last week with us, and then you gave an update earlier in the week. What's your sense of what's going on? And Mike Pompeo has made the statement of what he's doing. He met with him. He said he wants to give the Saudis a couple more days to investigate. What's your sense?
Yeah, I think Mike Pompeo and the president himself are really, you know, handling this very well. We need to be careful. Obviously, if this is true, and it appears that it is, we're going to have to react, but we need to be very judicious, give the Saudis time to take part in this investigation. But it's a serious matter, Jay, because we cannot tolerate an extrajudicial killing like this by one of our allies that we support economically and militarily, and it appears that may have been what happened. The question becomes, what is the response of the United States? And as I mentioned to you last week, I think there's where we really, really have to navigate this very carefully, because some bipartisan members of Congress are calling for us to cut off military aid in cooperation with Saudi Arabia. I think that would be a huge mistake. There are other ways that we can penalize Saudi Arabia. For example, the Magnitsky Act, which was passed in 2012, whenever I think Russia invaded Crimea, it's been used since 2016 to punish individuals. We did this with Turkey, with some of their ministers, when Pastor Brunson was being held captive. So you can put, you know, sanctions against individuals who are directly involved with this. Those are financial as well as, you know, forbidding entry into the United States. I think actions like that would be more warranted. If we cut off military relationship with Saudi Arabia, it would be a huge mistake, because they are our chief ally in opposing the influence of Iran in the area, as well as assorted terrorist groups. And also through back channels, Jay, it's not talked about much, but Saudi Arabia has been allied with Israel.
Yeah, I know. I mentioned that earlier, Wes. I did. Yeah, that's a big role. I mean, it's not, like you say, not publicly discussed much, but it's a big fact.
Yeah, and at this point, you don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face diplomatically, so that we need to react if this happened. And again, it's a horrible thing. But you don't want to sacrifice national security and vital U.S. strategic interest in order to make a statement and in order to take a stand. We need to take a stand, and there needs to be repercussions for this. We need to make a statement, but not at the point of sacrificing our national security concerns. And if we were to cut off military cooperation and aid to Saudi Arabia, we are actually hurting ourselves when it comes to national security as well as intelligence gathering.
Margie, Oklahoma City's on line four. Let's go ahead and take Margie's call. Margie, you're on the air.
Hi, I really agree with what the colonel just said. I have a great concern over Erdogan. I don't think he's trustworthy. So I think we really need to get the facts, all the facts, and then move cautiously with wisdom and don't get caught up in the chaos that's going on around all this. Just cautious and straightforward.
Now, Margie, I think you're right. I mean, my view is this. I think what Mike Pompeo said is exactly correct. You got to give the Saudis a few days to investigate this further. An extrajudicial killing, as Colonel Smith just said, is problematic on a whole host of international levels, and also creates, they have thrown a wrench, Wes, into their position on the world stage here with this, if this proves to be true, which he didn't come out, so something happened.
Yeah, exactly. And as you alluded to just now, you know, Turkey is not a friend of Saudi Arabia. And quite frankly, Turkey is very jealous of the close relationship between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. No one is more pleased with the events that are unfolding than Russia, Iran, and Turkey, because they would like to see our relationship with Saudi Arabia fragmented, because we stand with Saudi Arabia and Israel to oppose tyranny in the Middle East. But on the other hand, this is a horrible thing. And it appears, perhaps, and again, you don't want to rush to judgment, that the Crown Prince is the one at the center of this. And if that's so, I do agree with Lindsey Graham. He cannot succeed the King of Saudi Arabia and be a legitimate player on the world stage, nor can he be a key player allied with the United States, if he's involved in this. And it appears that he is.
Yeah, they have an internal decision they're going to have to make here. And that is whether the Crown Prince stays the Crown Prince in that capacity. That is, I suspect that is going to be the decision. Now, we got to get the facts and circumstances. But I don't want to, for instance, we got to keep a strategic relationship with Saudis. I get that. Israel certainly wants that. The region needs that. But you can't overlook this. So who's going to be the leader on the world stage, which is what Colonel Smith is saying, is important. But then that's why we're being cautious, which I think is the word of the day here, cautious, but at the same time aggressive at getting to the bottom of this.
Well, there's a lane for both countries to decide this in, Jay. I mean, first of all, the United States lane, we have to come to our own conclusion on this. We can't blindly take the word of Turkey. We can't blindly take the word of Saudi Arabia. We have to come to our own conclusion on what happened. But then, Jay, I think it's very important for people to understand what Wes is saying. There's a whole range of very punitive actions that the United States could take if they deem that action is taken. And I think it is probably smart to start with the economic sanctions or talk about the diplomatic entry restrictions that could be in place, put in place by the United States, Jay, because if you start with the security ones, if you start with the military ones, probably the first country to feel that squeeze is Israel.
Let's take a call here before the end of the first half hour. Joe's calling from Lakeland, Florida on line 5. Hey, Joe.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I've got three short questions. First, do we know for a fact that he was required to be at the consulate in order to obtain the document?
Yes, to get the document, he had to be there. To get the document, he had to be there.
Had to be.
And he went there earlier, and they told him to come back on October 2nd.
Okay. It sounds like it was pre-planned. Number two, did he have any reason to be concerned for his safety or well-being while he was
He should have. He had criticized the Saudi government extensively in articles. So, I mean, yes. I think that, that's no question that was he had reason to be concerned. But he took these actions. He told his fiancée to wait for him and call friends if he did not return. That's what he told the fiancée.
Okay. All right. Well, that pretty well answers my
question. Which tells me, I want to go back to Than on this. And then and let's have Wes stay on with us for the second half hour here if he can. Talk to Wes, see if he can. He's traveling today, but we want to see if we can keep Colonel Smith. But then that's why I think Congress, I understand the concern, but we've got to be measured in getting to the bottom of all this.
We've got to get all the facts, Jay. I mean, look. I think there's an appropriate role for both the executive branch and the legislative branch. I think it's probably good that the legislative branch is spun up so that that Saudi Arabia takes it seriously and so that it fully equips the hand of the president to deal with foreign relations.
Yep.
But at the same time, Jay, the Constitution gives the president the responsibility to balance all of these measures. So I actually think it's good right now that you have Lindsey Graham and others in the Congress just sounding the alarm at how serious this is. And then at the end of the day, the Secretary of State and the president, they have to balance all the things we're talking about and come to a conclusion.
Yeah, I think dispatching Mike Pompeo to meet with them was the absolutely appropriate and correct thing to do. I think canceling Secretary Mnuchin's participation in the Saudi Arabia Investment Forum, the summit, was the right thing to do as well. And I think giving them a few more days to respond is fine, but understand something happened and something bad happened here. Wes, give me a 15-second on the importance of the ally here. We got to remember that too.
Yeah, they're the leader of the Gulf states there in the Persian Gulf, and standing against the malign influence of Iran and their radical Shia Islamist philosophy. And we need Saudi Arabia to help us with Israel in taking that stand.
All right, we'll be back with more in just about a minute here at ACL at 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us. ACLJ.org to support the work of the ACLJ.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
We'll fight for the right to live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. Let me tell you what we're talking about. Jamal Khashoggi, a Washington Post columnist and critic of the Saudi government, went into, lived in Washington, D.C., basically self-imposed exile, went into the Saudi Arabia consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, to obtain a document he needed for his upcoming marriage. He did not come out. He had his fiance wait outside. He told his fiance that, and he was very clear on this, that if wait for him and to call friends if he did not return, and he did not return. So he may have had a concern. The consulate was going to be issuing some marriage certificate that he needed to marry a Turkish citizen. Having said all of that, here's what we know. A week after the disappearance, Saudi Arabia said they would allow Turkish investigators to search the Saudi consulate in Istanbul to investigate the disappearance of Mr. Khashoggi. However, the search did not take place until October 16th. And then we find out that the walls to the buildings on the inside were completely repainted. So it looks like something awful has happened, which I think there's no question that something awful happened. The president spoke with the king, King Salman, of Saudi Arabia, but then dispatched Mike Pompeo. Here's what Mike Pompeo said once he left meeting with the president this morning.
I told President Trump this morning that we ought to give them a few more days to complete that so that we, too, have a complete understanding of the facts surrounding that, at which point we can make decisions about how or if the United States should respond to the incident surrounding Mr. Khashoggi.
We want to get to the bottom of this because an extrajudicial killing, and that's what it is, that's what Wes called it, Colonel Smith called it, is exactly what looks like took place here. Having said that, this is very I don't want anybody to think you just say, we're cutting off Saudi Arabia and that's it, because it's not the way it works. This is a very complex geopolitical situation. I always say in the Middle East, you got to think nine-dimensionally here. Colonel Smith, there are complicated, this does not justify what they did, and there should be repercussions for that. And there will be world repercussions for it, it appears. And it may be that this crown prince has to go. He cannot be the new leader of the modern Saudi Arabia. But I want to defer to Colonel Smith on that. You've served in the region.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think if it's proven that he was involved in this, that perhaps he ordered this hit, then the idea of him being a legitimate leader of Saudi Arabia, that simply cannot be. He does have 13 other brothers, some of which are older than him. He was elevated to this position, even though he was a younger brother. And in some ways, he's tried to do some good things. You know, Saudi Arabia, part of the reason that they have such odd cultural norms, and the religious police are so strict, and up until recently, women couldn't drive, women basically have no rights there, is because of the conservative Wahhabi strain of Islam that is there. The religious leaders wield a lot of political power. One of the things this crown prince did is he stood against the religious leaders. He's trying to modernize Saudi Arabia, bring them morally and culturally more into the 21st century. But if he's involved in this, any sense of legitimacy that he had is absolutely gone. And the United States needs to be very measured, very strong and forceful, but measured in their response to this if these allegations prove true. And a part of that will be that the king needs to select another successor to the throne.
I mean, that's what the kind of repercussions that could come into play on this. And what I want to say going to the break here is that understand the scope and nature of what's going on here. Nine-dimensional thinking, multi-dimensional thinking here. Because what you have is an extrajudicial killing. That's what we're going to call it. That took place evidently at the consulate of Saudi Arabia in Istanbul, Turkey. The Turks certainly have the right to investigate a crime that took place in their country, but there's more to it than that. The Saudis cannot get away with it with impunity, that's for sure. But we can't have a rush to judgment on what our reaction will be, other than it's horrific and condemned, than what actions we take. And it may be the removal of this crown prince, if he was involved, who is the heir apparent to the throne of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. That would be a big result. And I think the world pressure is going to be on at this point. That's what I think. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take your calls coming up at 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we've got a lot of expertise in this area. I've traveled to this region. We have offices in this region. I've traveled all over that region. And Colonel Smith has served in that region. So we want to give you our analysis on this. And I think the president's tone on this right now is correct. I think dispatching Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, was the right thing to do. We come back from the break. We'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back. Mindy on Facebook writes, just because we need Saudi Arabia doesn't mean that we look the other way. And that's absolutely correct. There's some talk of applying the Magnitsky Act, which allows for individual sanctions to be placed on individuals. It may be that these sanctions are placed on the crown prince. I mean, it could be, and he's the heir apparent here. What are you hearing in Washington? I know, Than, there's a lot of discussion in Washington about what to do. The president's saying, let's get to the facts, sent out Mike Pompeo. The right thing to do there was to dispatch the Secretary of State. I think he's got a, you know, he's got the right approach on this. I think the president's doing this in a logical way. What are you hearing on Capitol Hill?
Well, I think that Mindy is absolutely correct that, of course, you don't look the other way just because it's an ally. In fact, I think it makes it even more important that you don't look the other way, that you hold your allies accountable. Look, just as there's a danger in maybe speaking too soon, Jay, there's also a danger in not speaking at all, because silence with a key ally can speak volumes. I think the Magnitsky Act is definitely in play. I think diplomatic entry is definitely in play. And, Jay, I think the best indication that you may not even need Congress to act, the administration is likely to take the first actions on this. This is what you heard from Secretary Mnuchin just a few minutes ago. I mean, people might not think that not sending the U.S. delegation to a technology summit is not a big deal. Jay, that's not the truth at all. By the United States withdrawing from that summit, it severely diminishes the impact of that summit around the world. And quite frankly, it was one of the showpieces for Saudi to display its economic prowess in this area. So Secretary Mnuchin and President Trump deciding that the United States is not going to participate, Jay, I think that is a crystal clear signal that the United States is not going to be silent on this if, in fact, the facts bear out as in the direction they're heading.
So, Colonel Smith, I want to take a call in a minute here, but I want to get, I think it's important to repeat your assessment of how we proceed.
Yeah, we have to protect the national security and strategic interest of the United States. Even you take, for example, when Turkey was holding Pastor Brunson, all of our actions, including the Magnitsky Act. Yeah, there you go. We invoked that with some from Turkish officials. But even with Turkey, we were very measured. We were strong but measured in our reaction. I think we're going to have to react in a similar way with Saudi Arabia. They are as important to us in the region as Turkey is. We have to take action. We cannot take precipitous action because we need Saudi Arabia as an ally. We need their intelligence apparatus, which helps our intelligence apparatus. One of the things that John Brennan said a couple of days ago is that we should break off all intelligence sharing with Saudi Arabia. Jay, that would put our agents abroad at risk. It would also put the homeland and Israel at risk if we broke off intelligence sharing with the Saudis. So our response needs to be strong but very, very judicious in order to protect national security interests of the United States.
All right, we're taking your calls on this and your discussions on this. Our phone number is 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to Dennis on line 2. He's calling from Mobile, Alabama. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
Give me a second to make sure I say this clearly. I don't quite understand the legal. You said earlier that Turkey has the primary investigation. Maybe you didn't say that way. Turkey has the investigation.
We're having a lot of trouble hearing you there. Let's go to Scott. We'll come back to you, Dennis. Scott in Colorado. Go ahead, Scott.
Yes, guys. Thanks. Yep. Thanks for your attention to detail on this. My question is this. How do you think Iran is looking at this issue, how they might take advantage of it, how they might posture up?
Oh, look, the Iranians love this. I mean, are you kidding me? This is Saudis, their big nemesis. Israel, of course, is their other nemesis in the region. And the Saudis and the Iranians like this because they think this will bolster their impact in the region. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Wes, I know you concur.
Oh, absolutely. The malign influence of Iran in the region cannot be overstated. They're in Syria. They're attempting to influence the political goings-on in Iraq. They are enemies of the Arab Gulf states. They would like nothing more than to see the United States and Saudi Arabia, that relationship become fragmented so that we no longer cooperate, because it is the United States, the Gulf states, Saudi Arabia, and Israel that really keep Iran in check.
I think that's the reality of what we've got here. Mike McCall, congressman from Texas, was asked about what the action should be. Here's what he said.
I want this investigation to go forward in my judgment, but it's just based on my hunch. I do think he is not, I think he's dead. Whether the Crown Prince had a role, I think, is the key question here. And I agree that we shouldn't just rely just on a Saudi investigation. We should have our intelligence community and FBI look into this.
I think that's right. I don't think you could just trust the Saudis. The FBI does have global resources all over, literally global resources, to find out what happened here. You point out, Than, though, that Saudi Arabia is our largest security partner in the world in terms of military sales.
Yeah, they purchase more in military sales arms from us than anybody else in the world, Jay. It's worth about $300 billion over a 10-year period. But, of course, you know, that does not mean you don't hold them accountable. Again, as we've said over and over again, I think that means you hold them more accountable. But to piggyback off the sound you just played, here's why we need the facts, Jay. You've got to hold whoever was responsible accountable. And he talked about the question of whether or not the Crown Prince had a hand in this. Jay, the answer to that question makes a big difference in what the appropriate response of the United States is. If he was not, there of course still has to be a strong reaction from the United States. But if he was involved, that's when we go to the question that you've been posing of, can he be the next leader of the country? And Jay, you can't answer that question until you know if he was involved.
Yeah, well, look, but if he was involved and he is the heir apparent to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, to the throne, this is a disqualifier. I mean, in my view, this is a disqualifier. All right, let's go to Dennis, who's calling from Mobile, Alabama.
Okay, can you all hear me now?
We can.
Okay. Just want to clarify, the consulates and embassies, aren't they considered sovereign territory of whoever has that consulate?
Not for the purposes of committing murder.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because a criminal...
This is a murder. In other words, if there was a murder in the Saudi embassy in Washington, D.C., to a U.S. citizen or anybody else. It's not like the United States doesn't have the right to investigate what happened. I mean, so there's diplomatic immunity issues. That's different than the investigation of a crime. That's a wholly different, it's a good question, Dennis, but it's a wholly different thing here. The Saudis are going to have to come clean on this. They're going to have I don't believe, then they have any other option.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And the reason they don't have any other options is because the United States is going to see to it. Jay, just as a practical matter, if you watch the coverage of this, I know you did, I'm talking to Dennis here, it was Turkish police that went into the embassy. Now, there's concern about what happened before they got into the embassy, and that's part of why the United States has to take its own look at the intel. But it was Turkish police, Jay, that investigated after the fact.
I think what we have to realize is that the Turkish authorities went in there, and was there evidence tampering? It sure sounds like it. But I think the fundamental issue is, what was the role of the Crown Prince? You need to find out the facts and circumstances of what happened. But isn't the role of the Crown Prince, in your view, Colonel Smith, the key issue here?
That is the key.
Or somebody else within the royal family? Right.
Right. Obviously, I mean, and the Saudis are quite capable of taking everyone who is involved in this, including the apparent 15-person hit team that came by private jet to Turkey to do this. All of them have to be held accountable. But the political and, you know, national security ramifications, if the crown prince was involved, cannot be overstated. It delegitimizes the crown prince. And as much as we need Saudi Arabia, they also need us. I mean, we support
right.
them. We have we support their air force right now, which is fighting the Houthi rebels in Yemen. They don't have refueling air tankers. We provide the fuel for their fighter planes on these missions. We have military personnel who use the airfields and the airspace in Saudi Arabia. So it's a mutual relationship. But they need us as much as we need them. And I think the fact is the king of Saudi Arabia, when this investigation is complete, is going to have to take strong action in order to maintain that relationship and in order for his government to have any sense of legitimacy with the rest of the world.
Well, I think the credibility and legitimacy of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is at risk. That's what I think. And it's at risk, and it needs to be investigated. It needs to be done appropriately, but it needs to happen. And if the Crown Prince, again, if that's proven, the Crown Prince ordered or was involved in this execution, and that's what it sounds like it was. If that's the case, he cannot be the leader of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. In the world's eyes, I would think, as unacceptable. No matter whether the UN takes action on it or not. We have to understand the geopolitical consequences. I'm not one of these ones going out there saying you pull all your alliances, get your national security teams out of there. I think that's an overreaction. The reaction needs to be, this is affecting the legitimacy of the kingdom's governance. And we don't want to put ourselves at risk or our allies in the region at risk by doing something that's not rational. But what may be very rational here is that the apparent king, the heir apparent of the throne of Saudi Arabia, the prince, is not end up becoming the leader. If it's proven or if it's established, I think that's a key thing here. All right, we're going to the last segment of the broadcast. We take your calls on this topic and anything else. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We got some phone lines open for you. We've been consistently taking phone calls throughout this. Let me also encourage you, we're a little past the midway of the month here. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. You could do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We encourage you to do that. And stay engaged with us on all of our social media platforms as well. And you could do that at Facebook and Periscope, and I think we're on Instagram now. Instagram. There you go. So we're on all of them. So give us stay engaged with us. Stay in touch with us. We'll be back with more, including your questions, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone, taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Last segment, we try to get to as many calls as we can. Than Bennett's with me in our offices in Washington, D.C. Colonel Wes Smith is on the road, but he's with us as well, an expert in the area. Phil is calling from Old Bethpage, New York. I know Old Bethpage, New York, on line four. Hi, Phil.
Hi, how you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Great.
Yeah, first of all, I want to commend you. You do a great job with minuscule resources, and you deserve all the credit in the world for that. My point is this. I mean, you are, of course, lawyers, and you have a legal perspective, but we can't let the legal dimension of this overshadow the strategic dimension.
Sure.
Preservation of this alliance with Saudi Arabia between America and Saudi Arabia is indispensable to Israel.
Right. Now, I don't disagree. Look, I think there was an extrajudicial killing here. That means it was not authorized by a court of law, and action has to be taken. But I understand, believe me, that's what I've been saying for the last 55 minutes, that we cannot throw out all of our alliances on this as if that there's not going to be consequences for that happening. I think it would be significant consequences. You can't approve the behavior, and if the Crown Prince was involved, he'll have to be held accountable. But this is an awful situation, and I think when you look at it, we have to look at it through the geopolitical lens. Again, nine-dimensionally here, Wes. I mean, that's what you have to do.
Absolutely. You don't ever want to sacrifice, you know, the strategic interests of the United States, which have been, you know, those interests have been a part of that region for decades, or national security or our intelligence gathering in order, you know, to take a stand against this awful thing that apparently has happened. There are multiple options that the United States has to take a strong stand about this killing, and to even punish the people involved without sacrificing our national security interest. I think the president and the secretary of state are setting the right tone. They're ignoring the clamor of the crowds on both sides of this issue. And I applaud them for that, because I think they realize more than anyone exactly what is at stake, and that we have to make a statement. But on the other hand, we have to protect the vital interest of our own country.
All right. Steve's calling from Atlanta, Georgia, on line two. Steve, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Hey, thanks to you and all you do, and you have many personalities whose names we know, and I want to give a special thanks to all the people behind the scenes whose names we'll never know.
Okay.
My question is this. Taking the military alliance out of the equation, you know, there's a lot of talk about the refueling and the airplanes and all that. So taking that out of the equation, can you explain in plain English what actions we have available, assuming that MBS has some responsibility?
Well, there's individual sanctions under the Magnitsky Act that could be devastating. Not allowed to come to the United States. You can be the crown prince of Saudi Arabia and the heir apparent to the throne, but you can't travel to the United States. That would be a pretty big one. So I think that it's a diplomatic response in that sense. But again, the evidence has to be shown to establish that. But that's, I think that's where the focus of this is going to be, Than.
Yeah, and look, again, Saudi Arabia needs the United States more than we need them, even outside the military realm, which is where we've focused, Jay. Not only the Magnitsky Act, but $45 billion in trade between the United States and Saudi Arabia, access to the U.S. banking system, without which you really cannot participate in the world economic markets, Jay. So look, I think the question behind the question then is, if the determination is that the Crown Prince cannot be the next leader of Saudi Arabia, how would the United States facilitate that? Look, Jay, if the United States said we're not going to recognize the Crown Prince, or that will fracture our alliance, guess what would happen? He would not be the next king of Saudi Arabia. The U.S. has that much influence.
Yep. Linda on Facebook asks a good question. What would the world look like without a strong relationship between the Americans and the Saudis? This would not be helpful just for our relationship, but it would be difficult for the whole relationship and the whole region. I gave you the history. The United States has had a history going back with Saudi Arabia since 1933. That's when official ties began, and it's continued until today. So I look at this, Colonel Smith, and say, you've got to keep all of that in mind as you talk about whether it's sanctions or individual sanctions or what actually moves forward here. All of that has to be kept in mind.
Yes, all of that has to be taken into account. And the Congressional Act allows financial sanctions against, you know, the people involved in this, as well as forbidding entry to the United States. You know, the thing that we also don't want to sacrifice has just been in the last few years that Saudi Arabia has allied itself with us in our support of Israel.
Yes.
And in taking a stand against the Hamas and Hezbollah and all of this.
And ISIS.
ISIS, they are our allies in this. And so we can't willy-nilly sacrifice that relationship, but we do have multiple options. And I think Dan's right. We have enough influence with the king, who is a pragmatic man. I've followed his reign for a while. If he will not sacrifice his own national security or his reputation in order to defend this crown prince, and that's probably part of where this is going to end up. The crown prince is going to have to go.
Well, let me give you a for instance. So you're talking about Hamas. Colonel Smith just mentioned it. Let me get a picture for those on Facebook. This is what happened yesterday to a apartment in Beersheba from Hamas. Destroyed it, as you see. There were three kids inside and a parent. They are in a trauma unit, basically, for post-traumatic stress disorder or worse. They were inside. Mother and child were, and three children were inside. One was an infant. So these are bad actors in this region. And Saudi Arabia, while they've been helpful on these issues, so that's why you've got to balance all this. But they don't get a pass on doing this. But it would also, I don't think there's any question, Than, you mentioned this in our chat here in between our studios. It would embolden, Iran is the one that's winning today on this.
There's three factors at play here that are really top line for me, Jay, and they're all eyes. One is Iran. If you lose the alliance between the United States and Saudi Arabia, you have an emboldened and strengthened Iran. The second is ISIS or Islamic terrorism, Jay. If you don't have an alliance like this one and others in the region, that really strengthens. And the third one is Israel. I mean, you mentioned that example. Yep. Right there. If Israel is going to defend itself, and if the United States is going to help Israel defend herself, you have to have regions from which to base your activity. And the alliance with Saudi Arabia is the single most significant strategic alliance in that region. I would say Turkey is probably second in that line. Jay, and the last thing I would add to this, though, is as important as that alliance is, you have to hold your allies accountable. And the United States is the entity that can make sure that whoever was responsible for this attack is brought to justice and there are ramifications for it.
I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, the president, I think, is doing this in an orderly process to get to the bottom of the facts. To get to the bottom of what happened here, but something really bad and awful happened in Turkey at that consulate for Saudi Arabia. I don't think there's any question about that. And the repercussions on that are significant. But again, to underscore what Colonel Smith said, I'll let him say this in 30 seconds here, Wes. The fact is, we have to be cautious as we go into this, knowing the sensitivity and the fragile nature of the region.
Right. We have to navigate this very, very carefully. We need to react. We mustn't react too quickly. We mustn't overreact. Our reaction can be strong and at the same time measured and very targeted. But our national security and our intelligence interests are at stake here, which I think is why the president and the secretary of state are being very, very careful in their thinking, and they are taking their time to get to the bottom of this. I look for the United States to take strong action and at the same time try to preserve this national security and vital strategic interest that we have in the region.
Don't have an option on the national security and our interest there. You got to keep a relationship, but that may require the United States telling the current king of Saudi Arabia that if MSB is involved, he cannot govern. It's that simple. A horrific situation, no question about it. There's no justification for that action. All right, we'll be back with you tomorrow. Stay engaged with us at ACLJ.org.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.